And she says we does.
Shut it. You got what you wanted, Outlanders. Maybe you should be hitting the trail again.
We'd be interested in meeting this family you talked about.
The family probably be real triple happy to see yous and your friends.
Get many strangers?
No. Off the main highways.
Guess it'd be like a lot of ills. Some welcome new blood, some don't.
There was a sudden stillness in the shack, as though the angel of death had swooped by, low overhead. The woman stared at Mildred, her eyes wide, her jaw gaping. She half lifted a hand to point, then let it drop. Her husband had half risen from his chair, waving the gun around in an uncontrolled, spastic movement.
Blood, huh?
What'd I say?
You been sent? That it? You all been sent by the family?
You got it, woman. They be spies for the family, sent here.
Nobody sent us. Ryan's hand dropped to the butt of his Sig Sauer.
So you fucking say?
The woman took a couple of steps toward the door, her head turning from side to side like an enraged walrus, peering out into the morning.
You probably brought other family spies to take us into that doghouse.
We've never seen the family, never been here before.
Let's go. Best we leave before there's blood spilled.
More blood speech.
You get out. Tell nobody nothing, and nobody does nothing.
We're going. We're sorry if we've upset you.
Christy reached out with her hand, but the fat woman drew back with a horrified expression on her face, as if Christy had offered her a white-hot branding iron to embrace.
Get the fuck away, Firebird!
Suddenly, Jack knocked over one of the trays of totems. As it fell, a corner ripped away a length of filthy curtain behind it, showing a crude wall painting. On it, a naked man had been nailed down to an inverted cross, patches of red daubed on his hands and feet and over the genital area of his body. Hooded figures stood around him, one of them kneeling by the bottom of the crucifix, holding a copper bowl in one hand and a sharp silver knife in the other. Its edge touched the man's throat, opening up a torrent of crimson that was flooding into the bowl. Everyone stopped moving and stared at the fresco, held by the atmosphere of brutish violence and terror that emanated from it.
Sorry.
Madame Maigri stared at her own right hand, watching the fingers crabbing across the countertop toward the filthy scattergun.
Oh, that thing's obscene.
Shouldn't have seen it.
Don't touch that blaster, lady.
Madame Maigri's fingers kept moving while the woman looked down at them, her face blank, as though she were observing someone else's hand.
Let's get out of here, lover. I've got a seriously bad feeling here.
Sure.
Suddenly, Johannes Ford leapt straight through the doorway, both his Navy Colts drawn, the sunlight glittering off the mother-of-pearl grips.
First man to reach for his shooting iron gets on the fast track to meet his maker.
Madame Maigri snatched up the shotgun, pointing it toward Christy. Ryan was pushed off balance by Baptiste, and he knew instinctively that his shot had missed the woman. He swung a hasty punch at Baptiste, glimpsing the double-barreled flintlock pistol very close to the side of his head.
Coming around.
Can you hear me, lover?
A riding wave of nausea forced stinking bile into Ryan's mouth.
Help him to sit up, or he might choke before he comes around properly.
Ryan couldn't work out what had happened to him. There was a throbbing pain behind his temples that seemed to have its source above and behind his right ear.
Is he all right? Those scorch marks.
Ryan?
The next thing Ryan knew, he was sitting up in the dark, supported by someone's arm around his shoulders, still feeling sick, aware that he had another pain, a burning sensation in his good right eye.
I think that he's back with us. Ryan, my dear fellow, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Doc.
Might be a concussion.
Are you all right, lover?
Fine.
But Ryan knew that he wasn't fine. He was a long way from fine. To remove the blackness, Ryan had opened his good right eye. He knew that he'd opened it, but the blackness was still there.
Where are we?
A deserted house.
Where?
On the edge of the ville.
Who knows we're here?
Nobody.
It feels cold and damp.
It is. But most of the roof is on, and it looks like someone lived here for a while. Some of the broken windows have been shuttered, and the back and side doors have both been barricaded. There's remains of a fire.
Don't light it.
Relax a bit, Ryan. We aren't virgin stoops.
Yeah, I know that. It's just that...
I know, Ryan.
Is Mildred there?
Up the stairs, keeping watch.
How about food?
Jack and Dean are going out scavenging a little later.
Tell them to be careful and Being blind makes you stupid. Of course I'll be careful. What's the time?
Closing in on 3, near as I can figure it. Light's still good.
Not for me. Mildred entered the room.
How's it going, Ryan?
Like you'd expect.
How's the eye feel?
He was aware that she had knelt by him, studying him. It accentuated the feeling of helplessness, and he half turned his face away from her. He caught a sharp whiff of old cat piss from the mattress he lay on. It still sort of burns.
No sight?
Kind of speckling lights now. Like miniature jewels scattered on a black rug. But they keep moving. I can't focus on them. Can't see a bastard thing. Dean entered the room.
Paid the bastards for doing it, Dad.
Ryan, your skin is blackened and scorched around the eye. You've got extensive burning of the hairs on the eyebrow and the lashes. There's pitting with some powder impregnation to the outer surface of your forehead and the top of the nose, as well as all around the eye and down your cheek. But all of this is superficial and gives absolutely no cause for medical concern, though it should be carefully and thoroughly cleansed as soon as possible. Now that you're conscious, let me take a look at that eye.
Mildred knelt down beside Ryan and examined him.
Not so good. The impact from the flash has obviously been serious. The lid of the eye is badly swollen and tender. Until this has subsided, it's impossible to give a definite diagnosis. Also, I don't have any proper instruments to check deep damage, but I think there's scarring of the cornea as well as injury to the surface of the eye.
You mean I'm fucking blind?
Yes.
She squeezed his hand.
No point in bullshitting you, Ryan.
For good?
I can't tell you. I truly can't tell you. It was a bad burn, and it was very close to your good eye. If only you'd been facing the other way.
Then I'd have needed a new eye patch.
Right. Ryan, the truth is, the odds aren't good. This sort of injury sometimes gets better as the eye slowly heals itself, but if the damage is too deep, then it doesn't get any better.
How long before we know?
About a week, if your sight's recovering by then. If not, then it likely won't come back at all.
Thanks. Later, after dozing again, Ryan awoke and smelled the familiar odor of Christy. She was sitting by him. Is it night?
Nearly, lover. How's it feel?
Ryan sat up, aware of how totally helpless he was. Even the act of moving brought a kind of vertigo that made his head swim.
Whoa.
He reached out, grabbing at Christy's shoulder.
Hey, not so hard.
Sorry, just trying. I want to say it right now, and you can tell everyone else. Don't keep asking me how I feel. I feel like I'm blind. If I get any fucking hint that my sight might be sneaking back, then you'll all know about it. Until then, I'd rather not get asked.
Christy didn't respond. Time drifted by in silence.
I smell burning.
Jack went back to the store with Doc a half hour ago. Said he was going to fire it. Thought that it would be less suspicious if any of the locals went there and found the corpses. Fire covers it all up.
Good idea. I should have thought of that.
There's no sign of any life. This place is up a road off the main drag of the ville. Ford spotted it from the height of the wag seat. The trail was overgrown and we dragged some brush across it.
So we have closed off the road through the woods, and now there is no road through the woods.
Didn't hear you come in, Doc. Maybe the blast of that flintlock made me deaf as well as blind.
I've been here for some little time. There is an old chaise longue that fitted itself to my angular frame with surprisingly small discomfort. From its design and fabric, I suspect that it might be almost as old as I.
Anyone carried out a recon of the ville?
No, not yet, lover. Soon as it's dark, then Dean and...
You already told me that. Ryan lay back down, and within a couple of minutes, dropped back off to sleep.
Easy as taking small Jack from a young child.
Dean and Jack returned an hour after dark, bringing 2 gunny sacks loaded with food and drink. They unloaded them together in the room where Ryan lay.
Brampton's the oddest bill I ever saw. Only just gone dusk, but it's locked up tighter than a gaudy slut's heart. Not a place that wasn't locked and bolted, and only masked lamps showing through gaps in their drapes.
Can almost taste the fear.
But no guards.
Not one. Also, dogs shut up in houses and barns. A few centered us and began barking. Not a soul showed their nose out of doors.
Fires?
Indoors.
Then how did you get the food?
Mostly in sheds out back. Brain-dead lemon could have broken locks.
We got 2 chickens, ready plucked. 3 parts of a big smoked ham. Some dried fish, jars of preserves, cherries.